Welcome back. It's Thanksgiving week. It's a good week. It's a blessed week. We just had AEW Full Gear, which, man, social media between the Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland, oh my goodness, there's a lot going on there. Saw even a little Ric Flair woo appearance as he was side by side with Mr. Edge. And then so much more happened in that pay-per-view. MJF had a big win. Also, unfortunately, it seems as if an injury. But many matches on that card and many good things went on at Full Gear. And then in Chicago, Survivor Series, Allstate Arena, War Games is on the line. For anybody that watched Monday Night Raw, we all know Cody Rhodes fully put it out there that the Apex Predator, the Legend Killer, he is going to be back. And Cleve, I was kind of telling, we'll start here. I was kind of telling Tones about this. These days, Randy Orton, even though he's still in his prime, because he's you know, he's not an over the edge or like a Taker Goldberg type, but he's on the level of when those guys, like an Undertaker, when he returns for me, when a, you know, John Cena, any of those type of guys, Randy Orton's fully on that level. And the best part about it is he's in his prime and in the middle of a contract. So he was just out because of injury. He wasn't taking a bunch of goofy time off. He wasn't doing a move. He was fully recovering. RK-Bro kind of came to a crashing end. Yes, it started with his injury, but more due to Matt Riddle's wrongdoings. Obviously, unfortunately, could not follow the drug policy. But here we are. I already see some new merch out, Cleve, a little bit for Orton coming this Saturday. I want to ask you this. How pumped are you for his comeback, and how do you like the approach of how they went about it between Raw and we'll actually get to see him Saturday night?
Well, I just want to say real quick, I'm happy to be back. I know we took a short break, fans. Kind of work schedule's been kind of hectic. Me and Joe got a lot going on. Kind of the busy time of year with three major holidays going around. But back to WWE, it's dope to see Randy come back. I know I reported earlier in the year that it was a possibility that he would never come back. I know his doctor said, gave a warning, like, you know, maybe you should step back in the ring and all this and that. And when you hear things like that, it kind of, it makes you sad a little bit because you want to see a guy like Randy go out on his own terms and not being forced to retire, like what happened with Edge many years ago. So to know that Orton is coming back is really great to see. Hopefully he's still in great shape. He's definitely going to have ring rust, and I think a lot of fans should understand that. It's been about a year now, I'm pretty sure, a year and some change that we last seen Randy Orton in a wrestling ring. A lot has happened in the past year. You mentioned Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle was on top of the world with RK-Bro. I mean, we got that 420 shirt from the wrestling show we went to. And now he's not even in WWE anymore, and Randy's making his return. So really cool to see Randy come back. I do like that they announced Randy's return because we have seen the past few months that when WWE says a surprise, and we still get fans that believe that Punk will make a return, and then you don't want to give fans hope up thinking that Punk's going to return and somebody else returns, and then it's just like, that wrestler doesn't get his moment because Randy Orton is above CM Punk, I think, in the hierarchy of all-time great wrestlers. So he deserves his moment. It shouldn't be overshadowed with where is Punk or we want Punk. No. It should be focused on Randy making his big return after a year, dealing with major back issues, coming back to WWE, especially in Chicago. So I love how they did it to not only save the fans the issue of crying and moaning on Twitter about CM Punk not being there, but just for us to realize that we have an all-time great returning to the ring named Randy Orton.
Absolutely, and that's it. All-time great in his prime continue and will do so. Just to update people as well, we will, Tones and I, be at AEW tomorrow. Again, you could find all that info at Cleveland B on Twitter. Also, we'll be posting from the show, Snapchat, Instagram. Get it all good on there. Right now, they are previewing Christian Cage. We'll re-Christian Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne. That they are previewing so far tomorrow, as anything else AEW wise for the, and the nice thing, Cleve, is it's a tradition. They always have Black Wednesday in Chicago. The good, nice part about it is this, that it's a double show. So you get two for the price of one. So that's going to be always worth it. It ends up being a decently long night, but it's Black Wednesday. No, we don't work Thursday, of course, being Thanksgiving. And then a weekend ahead where me and Tones will be battling one-on-one, not in the ring, but in the stadium, is his Buccaneers play my Colts. I'll actually be on his podcast on Thursday. So gobble, gobble. We'll be family and friends until Sunday around 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 Central, which a big game for both teams. So putting the Dukes up, I've lost two in a row. Time for my ass to get back on that winning side of things, but we shall see. Cleve, I was going to say, Tony Khan posted, I was looking 21 minutes ago about ROH. I'm like, come on, I'm trying to look for the card. No, with all due respect, I'm trying to look for the Thanksgiving edition. Ooh, it looks like the AEW Continental Classic, a round robin tournament featuring 12 of AEW's top stars, begin tomorrow night on a special Thanksgiving Eve edition of Dynamite. And the first man who entered the classic, looks like it's going to be Daniel Bryan and the Yes Movement, but there's plenty of other stars that will be involved. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Let's see what else I can find here before we preview and predict the Survivor Series card, and then recap anything AEW that we so dream to. But that seems to be what's going on at the moment. I can't wait to boo the shit out of Christian tomorrow. I hope to see Edge. Would love to see him. It would be interesting not seeing him in the WWE. But Cleve, one big piece of news I did want to mention, Will Ospreay. He was thinking about signing back home. He was thinking about coming to WWE. Ends up in AEW. I think that's a big signing for AEW for a multitude of reasons. Number one, this is somebody you're getting in their prime. I almost compare it kind of like, because I know his name recognition for the average fan hasn't been there as much because he was in New Japan mostly until recently when he started more doing work. But he's only 30 years old. That being said, and he will be on AEW for a while. I could see at least a good solid 5 to even 10 years left. In comparison, I'm not anywhere close moveset wise, but he seems to be playing that heel role. And what better person to bring up heel wise than Randy Orton? I just think this is a big signing for them to get him locked on the books. You know, ever since the CM Punk thing, I think Edge move was pretty solid. This Will Ospreay long-term deal will be good. Any thoughts on anything you see Will Ospreay-wise? He is obviously a bigger name in the industry.
I agree. I don't know too much about him, but I have read upon him here and there. I've heard his name. And I think you mentioned the big point is he's 30 years old. We've seen in the past, and we have made numerous comments about it, how AEW seems to grab up a lot of the older guys, which, I mean, for most part, some of it has not worked out, some of it has worked out, but to see them actually go out and get a young talent like this with a big name recognition in his own home country, and I mean, you may have a few fans that watch New Japan Wrestling. I really don't, and that's fine, but I think him coming over here to the States, where I believe wrestling is, in my opinion, I think we have some of the best wrestlers in all of the world here in the WWE, AEW. So I think them signing him was just a really great move to see. And the direction they should be going is younger talent. Instead of putting over the older guys, let's see some of these unknown young guys come over here to the States from whether it was Mexico, New Japan, or wherever they come from, England, all these other great wrestling countries, come over here to the United States and actually try to win the crowd over, show us what we've been missing for fans that don't, casual type fans, I guess they would call us, fans that really don't watch other type of wrestlers outside the United States. So curious to see where that direction goes. Hopefully AEW utilizes him correctly, and he just doesn't become another face in a crowd like so many others over there in AEW.
And you know, you brought up a great point because tomorrow, you know what, this is my test tomorrow because AEW, I went to it the last time in suburb of Chicago. It's not always the same arena. This is at the University of DePaul. The last time it was, you know, semi-full, they're not selling out as much. All I want to see tomorrow is a good show. And like you said, I want to see the younger stars and see where this is coming off of pay-per-view. So they just had Full Gear. Some of those results we'll give to you here in a bit, but Cleveland, you hit it on the head. I love my old timers, but at the same time, I do want to see some of the, you know, fresh talent, see where they're growing. Even I'm not even talking fresh, but someone like Miro, who's not over the hill, or somebody, we'll see. I know it pain, you know, Ric Flair. I love that he's back. You could already see he took a couple of shots in a shot to the, you know, his third leg, unfortunate, God bless. Hopefully he survived if it still works for the old man, but he got hit there and you know, he's going to find some way to get his ass back. I don't know if it'd be with where it would, if AEW would let him do a retirement match or something like that, even though he's already had like five, but that's crazy. Cleve, another piece of news I found interesting. I know it was only a one-off, but Ronda Rousey showing up to ROH. I was a huge Rousey fan, and now I always say this when I see her, who cares? Any thoughts on between Ric Flair, Ronda Rousey? Also, I did want to mention Orange Cassidy defeated Jon Moxley. That was for the AEW International Championship. I was kind of surprised. I'm a huge Orange Cassidy fan. But love how they keep Orange Cassidy with the championships. Anything in those three things you want to mention on briefly?
Well, let's get to the Ric Flair. I'm going to be honest, I don't care. I mean, dude, Ric Flair is an all-time great. I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to diminish what he did to the wrestling business. He is arguably on that pedestal with guys like Hogan that really ushered in that era of wrestling, the 80s, that made people tune into it. I mean, my grandma sometimes talks about watching it in the 80s with guys like Hogan, Flair, Devon Erics, and whatnot. But what's Flair pushing, like 70 some years old? I mean, I know you love it. I know it's sometimes hard to walk away, but do you really think Flair can still put on a good type of match? I mean, the best bet for him is a tag team match because someone else will have to carry the workload and mask some of the age of Ric Flair. So it's definitely interesting. I'm not gonna say it's not interesting. It's one of those where hopefully he gets it out of his system and whatnot, but I just don't
outside of the ring, not in it.
Yeah, you know. Hopefully AEW doesn't make him a focal point of their program. I mean, this isn't the 80s, the 90s, or the 2000s anymore. There are other guys on that roster who are begging for an opportunity that probably deserves it over Ric Flair. So hopefully this is one of those.
Because I will say, like, when I was just in Tampa, Florida, not to cut you off, and obviously obvious to me, he has a, you know, home there, his boat there. It says Woo right on the side. Sometimes he'll be hanging out at the hotel bar right over there, right on the water. It's awesome. But that's the environments I want to see him in. I don't want to see – or you know what, even as a manager, I'm cool. Do that till the day you drop. But with all due respect to Ric Flair, I don't want to see him be in a match and then, you know, maybe he don't make it out of that ring. Maybe instead of sending him to a local hospital facility, Mr. Ric Flair, if he has another match, they might be sending him off into the distance. We don't need to be seeing that.
I definitely agree. And then I'm going to touch on the Ronda part because I think this is breaking news, I think, for a lot of people. First of all, we knew Ronda left the WWE. She kind of left on a sour note. I think she started off very bright like a candle, and then after a while, the candle starts to burn down. It doesn't smell as good as it used to, doesn't look as good as it used to. And that sort of just happened to Ronda at the end, where fans were just like, I don't give a damn. You know, she's bland in the ring. I wouldn't say bland in the ring. She was good in the ring. But she was awful on the promo. She couldn't cut a promo to save her life. And even when they didn't let her go on the script, she was just god-awful on the microphone just in general. So hopefully what the ROH do is instead of allow – don't put
a – well, and it was only a one-off. It might never happen again. It was just – nobody – you know, like – I love going on social media. Like I said, that Hangman Page versus Swerve, I didn't have to see, you could watch it on social media. They posted so many videos because it was quality match. But Ronda Rousey, I'm like, my gosh, is that nobody, that was just a skip over. And for her, that big of a name, I mean, people forget, even let's go back a second before the wrestling, this woman was undefeated in the UFC, just kicking people's, not people's, woman's brains out, literally, until she had a couple of back-to-back losses with Holmes and others, of course. But I just, that's one of the bigger fall, honestly, in comparable to men, almost as like a CM Punk type of falling where the name recognition, it only takes you so far. Eventually, you have to reprove yourself. But on that note, whereas we ramble and go on here, Marcel, man, when AEW, whenever I get to an event, I think of you instantly. I'm like, I have not spoken to the man, the myth, the legend in quite some time. We got to talk wrestling. I miss the good backgrounds. You just get white walls and a fan behind Cleve for us over here. So I love how you got yours with all the War Games members. How we doing? And I guess if you want to comment, we were just kind of talking AEW, Full Gear, Fallout, anything, you know, surfacing ROH-wise before we move on to WWE Survivor Series.
Oh, well, first and foremost, fellas, can you guys hear me?
All good.
All good.
Okay, well, thank you again for the invite, fellas. I hope you guys are doing good out there. I don't know if y'all seen my review, but I thought the show was good, but as always, you know, TK, you got to make sure everybody and their grandma was on the show. TK do. But like I said, the standout was Hangman and Swerve. I mean, them two, they just killed each other, for real. The main event is something that probably Vince McMahon will book. I'm just calling it for what it is. The right man won, but it was overbooked like a mug. Just call it for what it is. I thought the show was pretty solid. Like I said, I probably would have took away two of the matches on the pre-show, which was the first two matches before we got to MJF and Samoa Joe's match for the tag team titles, with Ring of Honor tag team title. That would have probably been the only match on the pre-show. You kill those first two matches, because matter of fact, Ring of Honor got a pay-per-view coming up. You got your main event set up right there. You got Jay Lethal versus Eddie Kingston for the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship.
When is that? When is that, not to cut you off?
On the 15th. It's coming up. Okay. Final battle.
Okay. Yeah, because I saw something on here. Tony Khan's really promoting. I do say I want to give some credit, and I want you to continue, Marcel, but I do think this is – I mean, ROH, at least Tony, I think, is promoting in the right way. I don't think he always does the right moves all the time within AEW. And like you said, I think the card was longer than my grandma's laundry list when she goes to Goodwill. But for real, the ROH, I think he's doing a great job with that side of the business, because I just simply, you see it more on social media, you see it more on your television screens because they are going back and forth with AEW. I do like the approach and how he has done and handled ROH for the most part.
Mm-hmm. And then the second batch, which was Claudio and Buddy Matthews, you know he's promoting this new tournament, right? I would have saved that for Collision coming up this week, and I would have put the stipulation, whoever wins gets added to that contest or whatever it's called, the Continental Tournament.
Yeah.
I would have saved that for Collision, you know what I'm saying? That's what I would have done.
But yeah, and the only reason I'm happy because it's tomorrow is because I'll be gone, but I fully agree
you
with
you. Yeah, right, you going, you know what I'm
saying? I fully agree, though.
Yep. But, this is a crazy week. Like I said, Chicago is the hot topic right now. It's the hot town to be for the wrestling. I mean, Dynamite is tomorrow night. Then Friday and Saturday, we got Survivor Series, SmackDown. I mean, hey, it's the place to be when you want to call yourself a wrestling head. Come on out this way, you know?
Amen. It is definitely the place to be. And as I said, the AEW tradition continues of them doing their Thanksgiving show where you get both shows because they also tape next week's. And then at the same time, Survivor Series and Allstate Arena. I mean, they sold out and then they sold more and then they sold out and now they sell more again. I'm kind of glad I couldn't make it because I think every lot, if you are going, if you want merch or food, people, I'm telling you right now, get there when the gates open and hit it right away, because you will miss something. Those lines are going to be long and they're just going to be long as hell. That's it. At the end of the day, I've waited at shows where they weren't even to max capacity. I know Saturday they're going to blow the roof off, especially in the War Games capacity. You know, guys, I do want to ask this question though, because I go back and forth. I know Tones is more of a Survivor Series traditionalist, meaning he really likes the Raw versus SmackDown. That's where he, obviously we all grew up on that. That's been the main goal. Mm-hmm. But ever since the War Games were created back way back in the day, you know, between NXT, AEW, they were doing things with multiple cages. Here we are at the second Survivor Series with War Games match. I thought last year was a smashing success, probably mostly due to Sami Zayn's storyline with the Bloodline, of course. But it works. That's why I'm not opposed to them doing them again this year, because I think at least the men's one totally makes sense. I think we can all agree, even though I think this is the perfect ending, we're sick of Monday Night Raw ending every week with Judgment Day, you know, versus Cody, Seth, Jay, and then, oh my God, somebody gets involved and somebody comes out and it's 4-on-4. I think it's a perfect ending. I love how Adam Pearce came out. Finally, we have GMs on both shows and he came out and said, enough, you want a war, you want to play games. And that was a pretty cool moment, but enough's enough. Here's the final to it. I'm glad we're seeing it. Woman's side, a little more sloppishly put together, in my opinion, on who they ended up choosing to be in that match. I kind of think they just took the best people for the most part. I know they have damage control, but Becky Lynch was kind of a random fill-in. But everything from a men's perspective made sense. Long story short, Marcel, I'll start with you, then go to Cleveland. Are you more excited for the War Games approach at Survivor Series? Are you leaning towards more, hey, next year, let's get back to the traditional Raw versus SmackDown?
It depends on how things are booked. Like, I don't mind the War Games aspect, but like I said, tradition, you know, I kind of am a traditionist myself, but like I said, this War Game thing, if it works, you can pull it off. Like, I'm going to be 100% with you. I'm kind of just looking forward to the result on both matches. I'm not really that invested like I wanted to be, because I was kind of looking forward towards the women's side, but once H revealed who Bianca was picking, I was like, well, I'm good. Now, one thing I'm looking forward to concerning the women, the aftermath. Because everybody knows what's going to happen to Bayley. Everybody know that. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most. With the men's side, it depends on how well Orton eases on back into it. Because this is a very dangerous matchup. And we talk about his back and all that stuff. Let's see how he can ease on in. Like I said, that's what we're going to be looking forward to towards the most. But that's just me. I don't know how you feel about it.
Cleve?
So, honestly, Joe, I would have to disagree with the women's side of the War Game, because I think it does make sense. Besides Becky is sort of an oddball, but Becky's such a big name. How can you leave her out? Such a big pay-per-view. But if you look at the rest of the women that's in this match, the rest of them have been screwed over by Damage Control these past few months. Shotzi's been feuding with Bayley for months. Bianca Belair has been screwed over. Charlotte's been screwed over. I'm reading who did I say everybody? I think I said everybody. So all of those women, besides really Becky, has been screwed over for months now by Damage Control. So it makes a lot of sense actually for this match. The one on the men's side does in a way, because you can go the same direction that a lot of those guys have been screwed over by Judgment Day these past few months.
It's been every week on Raw. Literally, we get one of them. We for example, one night it's Seth versus, you know, Dirty Dom. Yeah, and then the next week it's Jay versus you know, Damian Priest, which, hey, I think they did a good job of adding McDonough. I think they, even McIntyre, for, you know, sometimes you had a bigger name just to add it. They needed a role for him. I think, you know, it kind of honestly was a decent fit there. I'm not mad about it. And he was going heel anyways. But I guess I was just kind of going more at the fact, Cleve, that at least this has been going on and on for a long time. I guess probably just because I turn into Raw a little bit more than SmackDown. Harder to catch SmackDown on Fridays for me sometimes.
I agree. I definitely do. It feels has become repetitive, the same thing each Monday. But I do think this is a great way to end a feud. I will say that I feel the War Games should be saved for something like this. You know what I mean? Like last year you had the Bloodline and their issues. This year, Judgment Day. I hope it doesn't go in a direction that WWE has did in the past, where it becomes a staple of the pay-per-view. Because I think that watered down the importance of the Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. It watered down the importance of the Money in the Bank, where it was Money Bank was a WrestleMania type thing and they made it into a pay-per-view, and it's just like whatever. Hell in a Cell back in Attitude Era, for the fans that know, that was like the end of the feud between people. They would get Hell in a Cell, was just like this big old thing, and now it's just like another Hell in a Cell. So hopefully War Games doesn't fall into that pattern. They don't do a Raw vs. SmackDown in War Games, because I think that would just be dumb, but it would be nice to see Raw vs. SmackDown go back to the traditional 5-on-5 tag team match, but I'm not complaining for this year, because I think both War Games make a lot of sense. And one will end the feud, and I think one will set the dominance for Damage Control, like Marcel said, when they eventually kick Bayley out of the group.
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, they do have GMs on both sides, but they added them more recently, so they didn't really have enough time to prolong storylines here. I do like how they added the GMs, but I think I wouldn't mind. Like Marcel said, it's all about how you book it, especially the endings. For example, like, I don't know, is Randy going to just turn on Cody really right away? Or are they going to let that play out for a while and then see where it goes from there? Is Bayley going to get just absolutely obliterated by her team after Damage Control takes a loss? Or are they going to win and she says, I don't know what's going to end up going down in these matches. What I do like is it's hard to predict the ending. We don't have a very predictable view, because I will say, when you look at it, and let's get into it, fellas, if you look at this card, you have three singles matches outside of the War Games. You have Rhea Ripley versus Zoe Stark. That should be a quick one for us to predict, I think. Gunther versus The Miz. I think that's going to be another one pretty easy to predict. And then Carlito versus Santos Escobar, which actually has a good amount of spice to it, because that storyline has taken off in a decent direction between the turmoil and their faction. But Marcel, I'll start with you. If you looked at those three matches on the single side, which one would you say you would be most looking forward to? And which one are you just saying, this wasn't needed on the card, if you had to choose?
Sorry, but that was trying to turn my thing off real quick. To be honest with you, I'm just looking forward to seeing how the atmosphere going to be. Because those, the three matches that you talked about, like now Carlito and
Santos,
that's the one match I am looking forward to. I want to
see. I would agree with that,
because the other two singles matches, like you said, they just there because we got to make sure we got somebody on the show. You know what I mean? I would have preferred. Like, I don't know how y'all feel about the young lady Ivy Neal. I would have liked to see her get an opportunity, because she's up and coming. I know they just brought the Creed brothers in and all that stuff. I'm like, well, we got the heel versus babyface aspect. I'm like, Zoe's a heel just like Rhea is. How the heck are we supposed to get invested in that? We can't root against neither one of them. So I'm like, like I said, Rhea finna smash it. And then I know they're trying hard to push the Miz as a babyface right now. And I'm like, I feel real bad for Chad Gable. I wish that moment was for Chad Gable. I'm like, Chad Gable finally get his moment in front of everybody. This is the final time he can go up for the IC title. And then, boom, we got some. And more than likely, I would have been picking Chad Gable to finally get his moment. But they said, no, let's go ahead and give it to the Miz. And after what the Miz did on Raw, that tells me right there he's not winning.
And, Cleve, you better not complain, because your boy Miz is getting more wins lately. At least he's getting some W's on the TV screen. But, no, Marcel, you're 100% right. I mean, Rhea, she's going to continue her. So I think, you know, I don't think it'll be a squash. I think they're going to let Zoe have some good moments in there, because she is a fine athlete. Could we have used somebody else? Yeah, you could have easily, like you bring up Ivy Neal. You could have done Raquel Rodriguez, Nia Jax. There could have been other directions they went with this for a loss, but I do think Rhea pretty easily moves on. And then Gunther versus The Miz. I don't obviously give The Miz much of a shot at all. The only interesting thing I will say is he was one of the longest reigning intercontinental. I'm getting all my between AEW's championship belt and now this. I know you feel me on that. It's too much to my boy Orange Cassidy. I can't keep all these belts, but the IC title, to keep it easy. I give him, instead of a 0% chance, I give him a 5% chance, just because he has that historic reign with the title. But Cleve, what is your thoughts on the two title matches? And then we'll talk a little Carlito and Santos Escobar.
Well, I think Zoe Stark is a face, just because I think when she turned on Trish Stratus, that sort of moved her away from heel to face, but I do agree. I think Rhea retains. I still think between the two women champion, Rhea has been defending it the most and actually looks the best of the two. The Mia situation, myself, makes a very great point, but I will counter argument with, I think they want to save the Chad Gable moment for next year. I think Gunther is one of the favorites to win the Royal Rumble. I think he has exceeded the expectations for the Intercontinental Champion. I think he's probably been the best Intercontinental Champion since the Miz went on that epic run between 17 through 19 with the IC belt. So I think it's time for Gunther to take that next step into the world's title picture. So I don't mind the Miz as a placeholder challenger for the moment. Joe makes an excellent point. Miz was one of the great Intercontinental Champion of the past decade. He added relevancy back to that title belt after guys like Kurt Axel and other guys were winning the IC belt, sort of devaluing it, and Miz brought it back up. So I think he's definitely deserving, but Gunther's going to retain. Rhea's going to retain, but I will say this about Zoe Stark. I think she has one of the coolest finishers in of all of wrestling at the moment right now. Very unique, but I got Rhea and Gunther retaining their belts.
Absolutely. And before we, predict and say, I want to see if anybody has interesting thoughts on how these War Games matches might go. It is a pretty under the radar and I think pretty good storyline what's happening with LWO. I actually just represented their shirt today. Carlito and Santos are kind of going at it. We knew this heel role was coming more from Santos. We didn't really know how Carlito would be involved. Usually you give, the win to a younger guy, or I should say a newer person in this situation, but I don't know exactly how they want to represent Carlito yet either. So I'm pretty intrigued to hear your guys' thoughts. Marcel, you said this is the one you're most intrigued in. Who wins this match?
Well, like you said it, I would go with Santos because they trying to build him up to be this devious cat. And I got a feeling that I call them the twins, Joaquin and what's the other cat? What's the other young man?
Oh God, I struggle so much with their names. It's not even funny.
So as of right now, they're playing this game as if, are they going to join them or are they going to stay with Ray? Because I got a feeling the LWO is about to be split up. It's going to be half of them going to roll with Santos while the other half going to stay with Ray. And It's looking like Zelina is picking her side. She looks like she want to roll with Ray right now. And as usual, Ray is out. We won't see Ray to probably close to next year. Say he had surgery again or something like that. But I said it's perfect timing because we don't need to see them two wrestling 15,000 times over and over again before they get to WrestleMania. Just play it off. Let Ray get his surgery on, and then come around WrestleMania time. That's when we can start back the feud. But in the meantime, let Santos go on this devious run or whatever they plan on doing with him. But now here's a question you got to ask yourself. So if three heels are winning right there, then that means what are we doing with the War Games matches? You know what I mean?
Well, and a good point, and by the way, because I did not know it either, Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde, I probably pronounced that wrong, whatever, I sucked at English my whole life, I'm not going to start being good at it now, are also members. So I do like, also, Ray, hopefully you have a quick recovery, but I agree. Let this play out. Let it simmer a little bit. You don't need to really move fast on it. Cleve, before we do get into the War Games, because he brings up an interesting point, a lot of heel wins we're talking to this point in time. Where are you going in Carlito versus Santos Escobar, and what have you thought about it?
I think Santos needs this win more than Carlito. Carlito's still new to the scene. And Santos is finally stepping out on his own. He cut his first promo last week. And I know when I was reading Bleacher Report, I saw the comments and a lot of people wasn't too big upon the promo. And that's understandable when you never get a chance to talk and you actually get a live mic and you start talking in front of, actual fans and whatnot. It's going to be – your first promo is not going to be the best because you're going to stumble over words. It's a lot of pressure and stuff. So I think he needs this win. I think him taking a loss would just really just undercut his character and really take away any means of him being a single star. Now, I do like I would like Carlito to pick up wins, but I think you could say that for later on down the road. But I think right now for Santos to really have momentum behind him and actually have fans invested in his character as a heel, he needs this key win in his career to get over that hump. Him losing, I think, just puts him on the bottom mid tier guys, where you know they're there, but they're just like whatever. And last point, I do think they should save him and Rey's feud. No point of rushing it. We don't need to see 4 or 5 matches on SmackDown about it. Let's get a pay per view match out of these guys. Whether you want to do one at Royal Rumble, and then to finish off at Mania, whatever. But just take time with that, and let's see. Give LWO more time, because you got 2 other guys on that. I don't even know who the hell those 2 guys are sometimes. They just run around out there. Mm-hmm. I think they need a chance to actually.
I just told you. Jesus. I just thought, would you ignore me?
Hey, man, their names are kind of confused. But that should just tell you, Joe. You just said it, and I just forgot about it. That's how forgetful those guys are. And I mean, yeah, those guys need a chance. So LWO, I felt, start off really, really hot, especially with Zelina Vega, beautiful lady. But it just fell on the wayside. And then Rey losing the United States champion, Carlito coming back, gaining a little steam. But the best way is to give LWO more time, and let's just see, a real conclusion to this group.
Boy, it's so funny. I look at Wikipedia for the match cards to see, because they lay it out the easiest. And you look at AEW's and you have to like scroll down and your finger starts to hurt. And then WWE's, you don't even have to scroll down because it's obviously 5 matches and they put everybody in the Survivor Series. I do want to get Marcel a couple of thoughts on a couple of things from Full Gear, maybe what he liked and he didn't like. But before we do that, Marcel, I have one question for you, and I'm just throwing it in here because I did not get to see the card live. I followed a lot of it on social media, but I was busy. In terms of championships, was there anything that you disagreed with? Orange Cassidy, he got a win over John Moxley. MJF defeated Jay White. What else here do we have? The singles, Tony Storm defeats Hiroki Shida. We also had, I'm trying to see if I'm missing anything. I'm not really counting ROH right now, more of just AEW. Go at it, though. Any of those matches where you would have liked to see the result go the other way?
The only one was...
Or Julia Hart. Sorry, I forgot to bring up the TBS.
The only one was Claudio and Buddy Matthews. I wanted Buddy to win, but like I said, I would have preferred them to save for Collision. But everything else, I was pretty much cool with all the outcomes. Like, with the women's situation, they really got story now, because you got the titles on heels now. So now they can finally start building with the women now. Everybody can start chasing after Julia, and they can start chasing after Tony, because that's what everything was all about. That's what we was looking for the most. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we got 2 title changes, and then, like I said, the ladder match was crazy. I loved everything about that. I mean, everybody just went nuts in that. I mean, the right dudes won. They retained Big Bill and Ricky. I'm glad they retained. And I still don't know what's going on, because as of right now, the Young Bucks, they out here pouting, talking about they not going to be on TV right now. Just, you know, I said, look at 2 times in a row. First, they beat him at Revolution at 2020 at Revolution. This is when Kenny was with Hangman. Then he came back, turned right back around, and beat him again. This time he had Chris Jericho. I'm like, the Young Bucks, what y'all going to do? Y'all can't hang with him. Y'all literally cannot hang with that man. I don't know why, but that's basically what they got going on. But overall, like I said, I really didn't have a problem with any of the decisions that happened. Now, like I said, the main event was kind of overbooked. The right man won. I had a problem with that. He was obviously going to retain the championship. But as y'all know, we got a pay-per-view coming up called World's End. World's End tells me that he's definitely losing at World's End. But the question is, how in the world is he going to lose? And who in the world is he going to lose to? Because that's the big question that we got to ask ourselves. Like I said, Tony Khan, all the build-up going in the World's End starts tomorrow night. Everything starts tomorrow night. Tony Khan already know that. Everything starts tomorrow.
Now, do you think, by the way, the 2 longest matches of the card, before I ask a question here, 29 minutes and 55 seconds for Swerve versus Hangman Page, 20 minutes and 45 seconds versus MJF and Jay White. Just phenomenal singles matches and performances. I do want to give them credit where it is due because most of the other matches were shorter that were the singles variety. Now, do you have, and I have no idea which way this question would go, could be a dumb question. I ask a good amount of them in life. I won't stop now. Do you think he is losing more because they don't have a, you know, contractually, maybe they need to get the bell off him just in case he does, not stay in AEW for, you know, hit the long end of his career? Or do you think it's just time for him to lose the belt and it will set up perfectly with the story they'll put in place?
I think it's time to lose it because I actually, before they came up with this pay-per-view, I thought that Full Gear was going to be the final pay-per-view of the year and we weren't going to get none until Revolution next year. But the fact that they just came up with this one out of nowhere and it's taking place at his backyard because it's going to be a Long Island, if I'm not mistaken. That's anywhere from me from Long Island, right? Long Island, New York.
Yep.
That's where it's taking place. Now, normally, you know the script in AEW. See, it's a difference. In WWE, when you go home, you lose all the time. In AEW, when you go home, normally you win. But it's called World's End for a reason. And I got a feeling, listen, I don't know if y'all peeped the game, but Tony Khan told us who the devil was without telling us who the devil was. He was standing right out there the whole time.
Tell us, please.
Adam Cole. The handwriting is on the wall. I mean, if you watch how he was acting the whole – first of all, how the heck is this man who can't even wrestle right now going to get in a wrestling match on crutches trying to wrestle? Then as he was standing out there, he kind of was like not really doing anything, and he kind of wanted Jay White to win. Because Jay White was cheating out crazy. I mean, just cheating left and right. Even with when the guns were bad, they came back out there cheating. And like I said, look at MJF got his Hulk Hogan on. He got his John Cena on for real. Super MJF. I mean, on a bad leg. I mean, clowning, acting a fool. I said, this is just so, it's too much. It's way too much. But Adam Cole more than likely going to be the devil whenever he comes back. I'm telling y'all right now. So, Samoa Joe has this shot coming up. I don't know if they're going to do it at World's End or they're going to do it at Winter's Coming. But he definitely has this shot since he helped them retain the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles, you know.
I'm going to have to start writing all this down. AEW started off with just a few shows. Now we got a ton of pay-per-views, Collision. I can't keep it all straight at the same time. Thank you for getting us all filled in there because I'm excited tomorrow. You know, the only thing is it does get long. I think I get a double show tomorrow, and then they'll do Rampage in each. So I think it's literally wrestling from like 7 to midnight, no joke, on this Black Wednesday because they do give you the two shows in one. And like I said, the tickets were at a good price and everything, so I'm all about – I literally – me, my brother, and our buddy decided to be in a section where, like, nobody is sitting, so we will stick out like a sore thumb. It's going to be great. We get to spread out. We'll get to enjoy it. Cleve, let's get into it, though, as we just did get a great AEW update. And, Marcel, that's very respect, and we thank you for it because we have not been as close to this situation as you. And – anybody, by the way, if you ever want to get his takes, he'll let us know where to follow him at. But YouTube, he does his reviews. It's on other platforms, of course. He has a Twitter following. All his recaps, he's on his stuff. We've been taking our breaks lately. He's been on his stuff. So if you want to see your quick reviews, previews, whatever, we'll let you know where to find that in a minute. But Cleve, to you first. I want What's more intriguing to you, the end of the outcome of the men's being that Randy Orton is involved? We know his legacy storyline back in the day with Cody Rhodes. We have Drew McIntyre involved on the other side. How does he necessarily fit in? Is his contract not going to be removed? Is he going to leave at the end of this year? There's a lot going on there. And then on the women's side of things, of course, you do have Damage Control, which we see breaking up before our eyes. Obviously, they just added Kairi Sane, which was a huge get back for WWE. And then at the same time, Asuka joined them. What ending outcome is more intriguing for you? And what would you like to see happen? What's your thing where you're like, if I see this, it's going to pop like no other?
I think I'm going to go to women's side just because this is really one of the first times in a long time that I think we've had a women's stable, which is Damage Control. I remember we were talking early in the year that Damage Control was losing steam. Dakota with her injuries, they just taking a lot of L's. And now, boom, within these past few weeks, you got two big names being added in the one Kyrie Sane and Oscar just joined. I think the code is finally cleared up, and we know Bailey's getting kicked out. So the direction of that group is going, I think that's more really intriguing than what's taking place on Raw. But I think the big, I think something that will surprise me, if I still think Judgment Day is going to self explode. I think it's going to happen eventually. We saw it earlier in the group where Finn and Damian just wasn't getting along, especially with sometimes you forget Damian even has this Money in the Bank briefcase. I hate to bring it up, fans, but it still irks my soul that he didn't cash in after that Last Man Standing match between Seth and Shinsuke. I think that was a perfect opportunity, especially for a guy with the Money in the Bank briefcase, but that's now here or there, whatever. But I'm just curious to see, what if Finn were to finally turn on Damian? Where he just finally felt that, hey, you're not the leader of this group. We know Finn has a little jealousy of Damian having that briefcase, especially Finn losing his opportunities earlier in the year to Seth two times. So that's something I think to look out for the men's side is, will Judgment Day finally self-implode? Will they basically, will Finn turn on Damian? I think is the big thing to look for. I think Randy and Cody, I think they're probably going to save that feud after Mania, especially if Cody ends up beating Roman. I think that should, that would be a great first feud for Cody, because there's a lot of history that you can use with that. And I think the time from now to Mania is just not enough time for a feud that big.
Yeah, because, you know, the last thing I wanted was the Judgment Day to implode like they did with you know, Bobby Lashley and the boys back in the day. I'm glad now Bobby Lashley is getting a faction back underneath him. We'll see where that goes. But the Judgment Day, I didn't want to see them just break up and end. Same with Imperium, Damage Control. But as all good things, they must come to an end here. And honestly, what I would like to see more, I would like to see the demise of Damage Control, because I do think it's been, they've been a good, pretty good faction for the most part, but I think it's time we get Bailey back on the face side of things. And we have the rest of Damage Control really become heel. Bailey, to me, yes, she's a, she was good in her heel role, ding dong, but she's, to me, she's a better face. The kids react to her way better. And also just, I think her personality, her charismatic character is better on the face side as well. From the men's side of things, and that's why I think you'll have Damage Control lose. So I think Damage Control will lose to the faces. Getting back to Marcel's point, need a couple face victories. So I'm going to give one that way. Also, I am torn on the men's. I want to hear Marcel's opinion before I give my men's prediction because of this. The Randy Orton factor is key. Is he going to play up to suit and be a friendly guy for now and eventually, you know, attack as he always does, knowing him as the Apex Predator Legend Killer? Or are they all going to, you know, is he just going to say screw it right off the bat and hurt, you know, is he might look at Cody Rhodes and across the room and be, who the hell do you think you are? Remember when I, you know, I was your, I was the captain of the ship. What do you think you got going on here? So, Marcel, what do you kind of think of the results of these matches? Do you see faces winning? And what ending would intrigue you the most and, you know, give you a shock moment?
Well, for the men's, I got the faces winning for the men's, but did you notice Jay's reaction when Cody has pretty much told who was coming through?
A little bit.
Because the last time the last time Randy Orton was in the ring, he was in there with them and they was jumping him. So I expect the RKO to come to Jay. Probably happened after they win the match. But yeah, I got the faces for the men winning. Now for the women, I'm actually going with the heels to win. Okay. Bayley is going to get the pinfall victory. So obviously everybody's going to be celebrating, thinking everything is all good. And then right after that, that's when Damage Control is going to turn, because obviously she thought everything was all good. Everybody went, we got the victory, right? Nope. Jump. That's when the epic beatdown is coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming. Get ready for it. Get ready. It is coming. I can't wait for it. That is the best part of the whole match, the ending. I can't wait.
Oh, that is, you about to jump out of your damn seat. That is spicy as hell. No, I didn't agree with that, but I would love that sentiment and could easily change over. And you bring up a great point, Cleve, on, you know, we talked about it before Marcel was on, how, or maybe when he was on, but how RK-Bro, you know, it came to an end because of Orton's injury, but the reason it never will be back is because of Riddle's wrongdoings, and obviously he's out of the company now. But if you do look at history, Randy Orton, the last time they were feuding but with the Usos, you know, and the Bloodline, and things were kind of happening there. So does, you know, Jey Uso maybe get an RKO from Randy, and then Cody has to kind of choose, does he go to his old friend or his new friend? And you can kind of get things mixed in that direction. Cleve, I am now going to, in terms of the men, I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to say Judgment Day. You know why? Because when Judgment Day, you least expect them to get the victory, WWE gives it to him back. After Fastlane, when Cody and Jay won the tag team titles, they lasted all about 2 weeks before Judgment Day got the gold back. I'm going to go out on a limb and say they do it again and not shock the world. To me, it's an even matchup, but their cohesiveness, their chemistry is more there. I think the Judgment Day gets a win, and then you create some branches, whether, like Marcel said, it's Jay and Randy, whether it's Cody and Randy, whatever you might do. I'll go opposite of Marcel. So, Cleve, based on all of that, now that you've heard everyone's opinion, what is your thoughts on some of those outcomes?
You know, that makes a lot of sense, because we can't erase what Jey Uso did this past few years. He was with the Bloodline, and those guys on his team, he did screw over at one point in time out of a title match. We saw, well, I don't think he screwed Seth. I think Seth and Roman had a one-off thing, but screwed Randy over, screwed Sammy over, screwed Cody over. And Cody's forgiven. I know a lot of guys really wasn't too forgiven. Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre doesn't trust him. So you could play that in a way where Randy, you know, RKOs and say, hey, I do remember you costing me my opportunity and whatnot like that. But I got Judgment Day winning. I just think that right now they're actually a group compared to the other guys where it just kind of thrown together. Judgment Day has been the hottest thing on Raw these past couple months, and they've been the biggest stable because the Bloodline has sort of taken a back seat with Roman having, you know, Roman's gone, and then Sokoa and Jimmy doing their own thing. So Judgment Day is sort of the hottest faction in all of wrestling at the moment. So I think this is a great key win for them, but you can still plant the seed between Finn and Damian over the Money in Bank briefcase. And I like to see Jay Dunham actually get his chance in the ring to stand with the Judgment Day, because I'm a huge fan of him. I don't know why. I just like the little guy. I think he adds something to Judgment Day, and I'm a big fan of Dirty Dom. I think Dirty Dom is the man. So I'm going Judgment Day for the win for that one.
You know, sometimes I forget that Damian Priest, obviously, he still has the Money in the Bank. He was toying a lot around with it early on when he had the victories. Didn't somebody steal the Money in the Bank from him recently on a Monday Night Raw? Sammy did. I don't think they should not, unlike the Otis time where they switch hands, I don't think they should do anything like that. But always interesting to see where the Money in the Bank plays a factor. Is it even possible Money in the Bank plays a factor, or I shouldn't say the briefcase plays a factor in this War Games, or not the time and place to even involve the briefcase? What are your all thoughts?
Well, it's a possibility. It does. But here's another thing too. Don't forget on SmackDown, this was announced last week because it was a triple threat to determine who's going to face them for the tag team titles. Street Profits won. They got their shot on SmackDown. So you got to ask yourself, do you have them lose going into War Games? I don't. They got to win. So Street Profits are losing. So that's another thing. And then, like I said, when the matchup happens, there's the possibility that Damian Priest may try to cash in during the match because, hey, we beating the brakes off the man. Hey, why not? I got the briefcase. And here's another thing, too. JD has switched the briefcase from the old briefcase. How do we know that the contract is in this new one?
Yeah, because he switched from the Latina, more of a purple Latin style briefcase.
How do we know that the contract is even in there? He might open the thing up and there ain't nothing in there. So we don't know nothing. So they could play all that out. So everything what y'all talking about could be a huge factor. But that's why even though I'm going to have them retain their tag team titles, I have them losing. Now here's the deal. I won't have Damian Priest and them get pinned because that would be dumb. I hate when champions get pinned and not title backs. It's just stupid. But I'll probably have JD McDonough take the pinfall for the team, you know, or if you want Drew to take the pinfall, he can take it. which hey, maybe Jay pins Drew. He gets his win back from what happened on Monday Night Raw. We don't know. We'll find out, though.
And that's what's so entertaining about go ahead, Cleve.
Oh, I got to agree with Marcel. It makes perfect sense. J.D. Dunham is the fall guy of the group simply because his name just isn't as big as the other guys on Judgment Day. But it does make an excellent point. You don't want to make Dame and Finn lose too much because then it'll just become they lost this match and know they're going to lose Friday. This goes back to my point about Finn and Damian is that if they were to lose the belts Friday, right, this can really cause the tension between them to really heat up. And you can, like I said, you can see the imploding happen. Back to the now last point, Money in the Bank case. That's the thing with the Money in the Bank. That's the problem with it now. That type of question, we shouldn't even be asked because the Money in the Bank should always be on the hunt to cash that Money in the Bank in. This is a perfect type of matchup where, especially if Judgment Day wins, and Seth is laying in the middle of the ring, beat, you know, all beat up and this and that, and Damon grabs the briefcase and tries to cash in. Like, that would be the perfect opportunity for him to cash it in. So I think the longer they go on with this one, just the more we know that Damian's not going to successfully cash this briefcase in.
Yeah, because we did have a woman's successful cash in, as we know, at SummerSlam. So they might try to balance the odds and go one-on-one on that. But I would keep it on. I wouldn't use it here. I would almost even bring it in either Royal Rumble or WrestleMania, honestly. Let it drag out that long. Let it keep fueling the fire and creating more journeys and stories along the way. I think that would be the way to go. But great job recapping those matches. This Survivor Series, there is going to be a lot of eyeballs on the product. It seems as if I don't know if it's just because it's in Chicago and we're all locals that maybe the hype, but the hype is real. I wish, you know, one of us were able to attend and get into the zone to see what's all going to go on. But I do know a couple of buddies going that tune in sometimes, and it's going to be a heck of a show. We have AEW tomorrow at University of DePaul, like I mentioned, and this, there's just so much to be looking forward to. I guess I would say this before we, you know, start closing out here. Marcel, first off, could you let us know where we could see your great reviews and things? Yeah, I always want to make sure we could get that out there. And is there anything we missed that you want to talk about wrestling-wise before we start to wrap up the show today?
Before I talk about my channel, Nakamura has been teasing somebody pull it up. Nakamura been running around talking about, it's time. You know how he do sound.
Yep.
So everybody is speculating that this is, you know who. It's all on my time. Like, when he shows up. I'm like, the E keep telling everybody. We heard it from Sean Ross. The man ain't pulling up. First of all, it's too obvious. Everybody is expecting him to show up. I'm like, if I was bringing that man back, I would not be bringing him back in Chicago. I would not. I'll wait to probably the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania, something like that. But that's all everybody thinking about. They said, oh, maybe it's going to be him versus Nakamura. Well, somebody else said this. This might mess around and be Brock Lesnar because he does have history with him from New Japan Wrestling. I was like, you know what? I mean, it wouldn't cross me. It wouldn't go across my mind that WWE probably do some goofy stuff like that. Where it does be Brock come out of nowhere and be the great coming Nakamura.
What? But it's, you know, and you mentioned New Japan. We were talking a little bit before the show. I've heard rumblings and maybe a New Japan or star to maybe going the WWE's way. Maybe he's talking about that from an old rivalry head, but I didn't even think about the Lesnar one, but could totally see it because, you know, his time to come back is sooner than later as we're getting near the Rumble and towards December. So boy, Cleve, out of, a New Japan star, Brock Lesnar or CM Punk. If I had to choose, man, I don't know where you're going with that is the leading way. Cause I don't think it will be Punk. I just, it's too obvious. And at the same time, I don't know if WWE wants to do business that way again.
I mean, sometimes the too obvious is sometimes the answer. I think, and we can all agree because AEW did this crap to death, where if there was a show in Chicago, we knew who was going to main event. And I think in Chicago, CM Punk career has It's been so synonymous with great things that have happened in Chicago. One of the greatest matches of the past 20 years was the moment where him and John Cena had that match in Money in the Bank 2011, where Punk leaves out and blows a kiss to Vince McMahon with the belt. I mean, it would be a great time, and I think it would probably it would make fans cheer more. Because like I said, I think a lot of people have soured on Punk, but the Chicago crowd, stubborn fans sometimes. So I think this would be the only, this is the best spot, I think, where you can really get that pop for Punk, like that all-time top 10 great pop if you were to come back. If you were to hear the cult of personality blasting through that arena in Chicago this Saturday, you can't tell me, Joe and Marcel, that Twitter, everything else that talks about wrestling.
Oh, it blow off. It blow off.
It's over. You forget. That's all everybody's talking about. That's all everybody going to be talking about.
That's all we got to talk. And you can make that a one-time thing until a couple months later, but that still will be the talk of the town. And, Joe, I know you mentioned that maybe WWE doesn't want to do business with him, but we've seen in the past that Vince McMahon, and I don't know, he's still around. I don't know how Triple H is, but Vince has a way of sometimes forgiving guys after a couple years later. He forgave Hogan. He forgave Warrior. I mean, Bret Hart, dude. Look what happened with him and Bret Hart. Vince screwed the man in his own country. And 10 so years later, they were having a match at Mania. So anything is possible in the WWE, but I think out of all three options, to hear Colt of personality blasting in Chicago would just be an all-time cool moment.
Oh, it definitely would, and I would do you one better. I wouldn't even mind if they brought his more of his heel theme song back in there too. I like both his entrances coming out. But what I like versus what's realistic, I think it's going to be – I mean, Brock's always an obvious choice. I'm going to go with the New Japan. I think maybe a star from back in the day that the public doesn't really know about. Maybe that ends up what happening. But either way, we got to get to the bottom of the Shinsuke drama, and I'm glad Marcel brought it up. I saw one funny thing, too. What if Randy Orton gives Rhea Ripley an RKO Saturday night? I would love that. I wouldn't mind seeing Randy just – give her the double middle fingers and just RKO her. Like, come on, that would just be vintage. RKO.
You know he will. You know you do some hoop stuff like that.
Oh, my God. I could watch the Seth Rollins win it from WrestleMania years ago over and over and over. The RKO. I mean, you see everybody doing it, even who doesn't like wrestling, into pools, off of, you know, at grocery stores, all of this. Everyone's trying to do an RKO on somebody. It's just great story there. I can't wait for him to be back. I can't wait for Survivor Series. I cannot wait for AEW Dynamite tomorrow, as I like to say. Dynamite!
Big week out here in Chicago, man. Big wrestling week is all I got to say. You call yourself, I know cats is going everything. They're going to Dynamite, they're going to SmackDown, and they're going to Survivor Series. That's just wrestling. You're a crazy wrestling fan, but hey, that's what happened when you come out this way, you know?
Oh, my bad. Right. Joe, I mean, but this sucks for me because, like I said, this is in Chicago and I have to work. So I don't have to work, but I don't have a chance to make it. So this is really going to suck not to be there. But it's definitely going to be the talk of the town. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and once again, before we go around on the horn and get out of here, shout out to Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland. You guys deserve multiple. That was a hell of a performance that will not be forgotten. I couldn't believe when I went on Twitter and I just saw Dan Stapler being taken in the face. I was like, oh my goodness, this is, it wasn't like a John Moxley match where it's like, okay, when's the fake blood coming right out of his head, as we know he wants to bleed all the time. No, this was two badasses, just Texas death match with no F's given. It was awesome to see. Marcel, any final comments on AEW? And then please let us know where to follow you at.
Just watching that match, I got old school ECW vibes. Just watching that,
ECW.
Them two went there, man. They went somewhere. I was like, wow. And then Prince Nana with the goofy clown. It's like you got a mixture of everything with that type of match. You got Prince Nana doing his clown dance all day. Meanwhile, Hangman and Swerve trying to keep things serious. You know what I mean? So it's a mixture of everything. But you told me to shout my show out. Yeah, everybody that's on YouTube. I got the name right there. It's Casey Fell Wrestling Takes on YouTube. I try my best to cover everything from Brawl, SmackDown, Dynamite, Collision, every now and then Rampage. I try to do the pay-per-views for both shows, get my honest take on everything. And that's that, ladies and gentlemen.
Will you be watching all the shows this weekend, including tomorrow?
More than likely, I sure will be.
Awesome. I can't hope. Like I said, I'll be, if you see a guy with a big head in the corner, it'll probably be this guy right here as I'll be. Can't wait to be at the
enjoy yourself, man.
I will. You know, I'm glad to. I every time I go to AEW, I saw a buddy the last time I met, ended up me and you, brings people together. And I can't wait for the event, just like any WWE event I go to. It's just a great time, and I'm really looking forward to it. Clee, before we get out of here, how amped are you for the wrestling weekend, and how much will you be able to catch?
I'm pumped for it. I do have a bit of free time from work finally, so a little bit this weekend. So I will be able to watch Survivor Series. I probably can catch a bit of SmackDown. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I like War Games, especially. I watched some of the old NXT ones because I just thought it was a really unique type of matchup and whatnot. So I'm definitely pumped for it. I do have news, though. I don't know if Joe knows about this because I know this is his favorite wrestler. But John Cena just undergoes a surgery on his shoulder. Let me see if I just saw that article. Yep, he just had a second surgery on his arm
injury. I saw that. I thought that was like an old picture for something else, but this recent. Yeah, he went under surgery. Yeah,
this is recent. So this is really it's kind of a sad way to end the show, but this is really tough because a guy at Cena's age getting arm surgery like this, I mean, that's just really sort of the nail in the coffin for arguably the GOAT of our sport. That his time may be coming up. And I mean, what better way to go out than putting young stars over? So hopefully, you know, if this is.
I think got to give him, because he's not to cut you off, they gave him a victory in a couple of tag matches, one being with LA Knight at Fastlane and Kevin Owens like a year ago around this holiday time against Roman and them. So he's gotten a couple of those, but I do think it won't be a championship match. I do think they'll let him get one because he said the end is near. He didn't close it fully yet. I think he gets one more little run where he finally gets a singles win. Would you agree with that statement, Cleaver? Because I feel like his next time will be the last time. It does look that way.
I agree. And my last question to you two guys is, John Cena, greatest nemesis of all time, we know is Randy Orton. It's Edge also, but Edge isn't in WWE. Randy Orton is. What if Cena final matchup in WWE is against Randy Orton? That's sort of a send-off way to end this great feud between these two guys because, I mean, they dominated the 2010s with their titles going back and forth between those guys. So I want to – would you guys mind that to see a John Cena, Randy Orton – so Cena retirement type match?
I'm gonna build that up going into 41. That's what I do. I will build that up going into 41. I'll take my sweet time with it. Who knows? Maybe Orton has the world championship. And boom, we got it one more time. Cena gets the Rock one more time. He gets the championship win at WrestleMania. I'm good with it. I'm cool with it.
And that as long as it rests after that, and it finally, you know, he puts the knight in shining armor, he puts his hands up, all the fruity pebbles and myself start crying, we go crazy, and it's all over.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But like I said, thank you again, Marcel, for joining us. It's been a blast. I know it's short notice. I would love to get you back next week for the recap. I would because Cleve will have to take a break for a while. So hopefully. I'm going to text you or I'll be in the Twitter as well. Hopefully we try to find a day next week where us three and Tampa Tones, who will be at the event with me tomorrow, we can all talk the recap of Survivor Series and the AEW weekend if you fellas want.
Okay, sure. I ain't got a problem with that.
Absolutely. But for that being Marcel, that's Cleve. This is me. God bless. Good night, everyone. We brought you the preview and prediction show for Survivor Series and recap full gear. Everyone have a God bless and Thanksgiving weekend. Be safe and we'll see you next week on Cleve and Me.